Bro, I forgot about the smelling salt. I don't want to do this. I feel like it's a drug.
It is a drug, baby. What's
I got on it?
Are we really going to? Okay.
Yeah.
For context for everybody, okay? We're going to tell everybody what's going on. All right. For context for everybody, Jamie DeShaney brought smelling salts. Yeah. I don't know anything about smelling salts. Is this a drug, Tristan?
No, but I'll tell you what it's going to do. It's going to make your blood pump. It's going to make you want to go to the gym. You're going to smell these smelling salts. You'll be like, we got to finish this podcast because I got to go to the gym. And
that's insane, bro.
Pump some iron, baby.
So here's what we're going to do is we're going to let Tristan go first. I think everyone would be interested most in Tristan going first.
Oh, my Lord.
So we're going to let Tristan go first with the smelling salts, and then we'll let Jamie go. That's it.
Jamie, you usually do this?
I have never used smelling salts.
Oh, you've never? Me neither.
All right, smelling salts. I'm recording this on video as well. All right, Jamie, so we got it set up.
We've got to keep talking because I got to shake this for 5 minutes.
Five minutes. Okay.
All right. We can. Austin can sing for 5 minutes. What are we talking about? No.
Thank you.
Listen, Madeline talked to me about this at dinner last night.
Did she?
She literally had. She listens to it early in the morning.
Okay.
The morning after it comes out, and she literally said she played it. It started playing for like 5 minutes, and she was like, it's too much this early in the morning, and literally stopped it.
Ooh.
And has not listened to it.
Yeah, bro. Okay. That's wild.
That is wild.
Which one of these is mine? Because y'all be way too loud.
So what happened is that, I went away. So what happened was Tristan actually helped me set the podcast up today. Thank you, Tristan.
You're welcome.
And he actually put the earphones in the ones we normally don't use, which is okay. I didn't think about it. And so everybody's is set differently.
Wait, what are you talking about? The ones we normally don't use. Do you not use?
I usually put you in three.
Yeah.
I'm in two. He's in one. So,
it's normal. It's
him in one and you in
it's
two.
Order of importance is what it is. Me one, that's Jamie awesome. Two, and you three. Tristan.
Or it's because awesome. It goes one, two, three this way. I guess I can do it one, two, three this way. It don't matter either way.
Wow. Wow. No, that's
Jamie's
great.
A counterclockwise kind
you
of guy.
You can switch you guys' ears then if you want to. The one and two.
Oh,
if
we're,
you
just we're fixed those, now. We're fixed now.
No. I think we should switch them, honestly.
No. We're good.
Why is this getting, hot?
Yeah.
Bro. I don't know. This is insane. Hey, you know what? I'm going to give everybody a preview of what we're going to talk about today, okay?
Okay.
Because we've shifted. We don't want Jamie to have to do too much, okay?
Yes.
He's doing creative stuff now and editing the podcast. So we're no longer going to edit these podcasts. It's just going to be what it is, okay?
Dangerous game.
It is very dangerous. Very dangerous. So anyway, here's what we're going to talk about today. Okay. We're going to talk about AI.
Oh, we're going to use AI to edit the podcast now.
We are not going to use AI to edit the podcast. And we're going to talk about what is good about AI, what is bad about AI, what we believe about AI, and what we should think as Christians moving forward.
Because we probably all speak different languages when it comes to AI.
Wow, incredible.
I mean, that Jamie is similar
still,
to...
I mean, he's still tying it back into the service.
I can't.
This is fantastic. I mean, I've never seen somebody with the talent like Jamie to be able to do that.
I mean...
That's why number two.
That is incredible. I mean, today you're number one, Jamie.
He's number one today. That's true. Hey, you know, one of our goals in year four is for our church is to have over 200 active heaven bringers. And as of this past Sunday, we had 184.
Jeez. Let's go.
We're going to hit it. We're in year three right now, by the way. We're like a full year away from that being a number we need to hit as a goal. So we got to change that goal.
That's
and
so
make
awesome.
It harder because we're about to hit it.
Yeah, bro. Come on.
What's up, brother?
What's up, brother?
I'm not doing this. All right. Are we at 5 minutes now so we can do this?
We're at 4 minutes. We're at 5 minutes.
We're at 4 minutes and 12 seconds. We were already recording for 1 minute.
Oh my God.
Which means we got two more minutes.
The anticipation is killing people right now.
I'm a buy the book guy. You know what I mean?
Man. Okay. So
actually, this is a great question. When y'all get like something from like Walmart, like a piece of furniture or something like that, you have to put it together. Are y'all directions people or no? I already know the answer from Austin because he set up some of our stuff in the office here. So go ahead and give them your answer. The audience doesn't know. I know, but the audience doesn't.
Yeah, I use the directions.
Okay, so he's lying. Also, that's crazy.
I use the directions, a.k.a. the picture on the front.
Yeah,
like,
okay. Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
this
yeah.
looks like it goes there.
Yeah, okay. Sweet. I am a directions guy.
Which is why we're currently hiring an executive pastor. We need a... if you'd like to submit your resumes to Annie at heartandsoul.church.
LOL. Wow.
I'm going to LOL if like Madeline submits a resume. Madeline, we would hire you.
Wait a second. You could be onto something. Okay.
What do I do?
Are we going to record this?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's record, let's record it from both angles.
Oh, yes.
We'll do
I'm going to get a close-up.
Yeah, we'll do
And you get the we'll far back.
From both angles.
All right, so everyone, just
so
you know.
Add 1 cup of water. Close lid tight with 3 exclamation points, by the way.
Explanation?
Explanation points. Shake 5 minutes. Sniff, comma, get primed. That's what it says. I am about to pass away. Okay. Ooh. How so, close do I need to hold this to my nose?
Wait, hold on. Do I need to check our insurance first and make sure that we... Is this workman's comp?
It says within 6 inches.
At least 6 inches away from nose Annie. Before use.
Go for it. Come on.
We need Annie in here to see
Come
this.
Come on.
Annie, you want to see your husband pass away?
Babe!
She's doing work. All right, let's do it.
She disappeared.
Lord have mercy.
What if it's so strong y'all smell it too?
Oh, I'm gonna drop the phone that I'm recording you with. Oh Lord.
Oh! Oh! That was so far away.
What's going on?
Oh.
Where are you going?
Oh, that hit me. Oh my! I might as well not have allergies at this point. I need to get a symptom that's fixed. Holy crap! Whoa! All right, I'm good.
Wow! Holy crap! That was wow.
That is wild, actually.
Whoa.
You want to do it again?
Go for it again.
No, it is a drug. Oh no!
Wow. It really hit me at first, but then I was like, wait a second.
All right, Jamie's turn.
All right, we got to get 2 angles. Ooh. Where's your phone at, Tristan? We get your phone.
Let me get you.
You want to use yours, and we can, that way we can.
Good call.
All right.
Here, just, oh, not slow-mo. That'd be hilarious.
Oh, my Lord.
Just slow-mo.
All right. We're recording.
Was it that bad?
It really wasn't bad. At first it was bad, and then it felt so good.
All right, I'm just leaving the lid off all the way.
That's fine.
All right, here we go.
Oh, it's almost mine.
Oh, okay.
Look at the veins, baby.
Bro.
Lord have mercy.
Go. That freaking hits you, doesn't it?
Bro, I'm actually scared right now.
Oh, that freaking hits you, dude. Let's do it again.
I don't think I want to do it, actually. I'm not doing it.
No, you got to do it.
No, I don't.
Jamie, the veins in your neck literally popped out so much.
Oh,
wow.
Man, all right.
No, I'm really not doing it.
You got that so close to your face.
I'm really not doing it, though.
Here you go, Jamie.
Yes, you are.
We've got to.
I'm really not.
Yes, come on.
I have children.
Come on. All right, here we go. Here, you got Austin's phone this time.
Hold on, I'm doing it again real quick. Oh, okay,
so the thing is, though, is that...
Why are you doing it again?
That's still not as bad as...
It's not as bad as it first was.
As when it first hit me, that's not nearly as bad as when it first hit me. Holy crap.
Let him get the hit, and then we'll have you go.
I just want to mix it up a little bit
okay,
more.
That's enough. That's enough, Tristan. That's enough.
I hope it hits you.
It's going to hit, bro. Give it
time,
to me.
Honestly, that's second,
to blow.
Right, that
here we go.
Second
here we go.
Time
here we go.
It hit me, it wasn't nearly as bad.
Here we go.
I don't want to do this, actually. This is
do
way
it.
Too much peer
pressure. Do it.
Why
do
you
it.
Have yours on
30? Do it.
Why is your phone recording in 30 frames per second? Why is it not 60? What are you doing?
Because I'm trying to save... Space on my phone.
You,
come on.
Oh
let's go.
Lord.
Come on.
I don't want to do this, actually.
No,
I really
it's
don't.
Not, it's not
it's
as
actually
bad.
Not as bad.
Not
the
bad.
Second time, it was not as bad as it was that initial time.
So literally just, yeah. That's such a play.
Bro, when I tell
it
you.
It smells like. Oh! It got stuck in my nostril hairs.
Nostril?
In your nostril hairs? Yes, correct.
I think I want to throw up.
Oh my gosh.
That was dumb. I can't believe I did that.
All right, so.
Annie, come
Annie.
Here.
Annie, you got to do it.
Annie's turn.
You got to do it.
Shake it up. Shake it
shake
up.
It up no, and
shake it up.
What is it that you're. I'm doing cocaine.
Well,
take another hit, brother.
Take another hit.
I have children. I was like,
all right, Annie, come on.
Here you go.
You just sniff it.
What is it?
Just sniff it.
It's just, it's like
smell
it. Salts.
A big whiff.
I'm scared.
No, come on,
it's
Annie.
It's not that
bad. It's really not bad. It's really not bad.
Okay, y'all's reactions.
Let's see.
Oh!
She went straight for the nose.
Wow, you went way in there.
I thought my nose is going to start bleeding. Oh! Oh, everything's clear. Oh, frick. What is that?
I started to taste blood in my mouth.
I'm feeling my nose is going to start bleeding. What the frick is that?
What if her nose started bleeding? What would we do?
We cast out the demon from her.
Oh, good one.
What is that? Jamie.
It's smelling salt.
It's like,
let me see it. It's, I don't feel like it's as bad now.
I think it's maybe just like a one-time use.
I think it is because I'm...
Tristan was by far the worst. Yeah, he went first, and it was
him first.
When I tell you, like, this is not that bad now, when it first hit me,
I mean, you had it a good 3 feet away from your face.
It hit me like a freight train.
I'm so glad we got him to do it first.
He's so dramatic. And he said pansy.
Wow,
dude, that sucker! When it hit me, it hit me like a freight train. I'm not even kidding. Like that.
What?
I said he wanted to cut.
He wanted to go.
He did.
No.
All right, let's get this thing started.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
We're just huffing ammonia out here. That's what we're doing.
Exactly what it is. Ammonium nitrate.
Ammonium nitrate. I mean, honestly, we could have just went to a cat litter box and just...
Is that what a cat litter box is? Ammonia?
That's weird.
Cats when they pee?
I don't know what cats do.
Cat's pee has a ton of ammonia in it. That's why if you like let it, actually, so most animal pee has a lot of ammonia in it. But cat's really bad. That's why if you let it sit,
time out. This is a segment that we need the jingle for. It's Fun Facts with Tristan.
Yeah. I would like you to know when we were doing this and we were freaking out. Annie texted me and said, "Are y'all snorting cocaine in there?"
All right, we got it. Let's redo, redo. Incredible. Okay. It's Fun Facts with Tristan.
Peace.
Wow, that is incredible. Anyway, cat pee has a lot of ammonia in it. That's why you are supposed to get a litter box because you don't want them. Well, they're harder to potty train, but also like you don't want them to pee just on the ground because it will like if you have wood floors, it'll turn them really white.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ammonia is literally eating away at the protective like sealant that's been put on it.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yep. And so if you go into a litter box, that's why if you go to a litter box that a cat has peed in a bunch and it hasn't been cleaned out, it has like this awful, like strong stench. That is the ammonia.
Well, you know what? I don't own cats. I will never own a cat.
Well,
I will never have a cat. Cats are the worst animal.
Well, I think cats hate you too, so.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, which is fine. You know what? I'm totally fine with living my life with cats, you know.
As your number one off.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that, honestly.
I feel like if Austin had a cat.
I'm going to heaven when I die, and they're going to hell, so.
I feel like if Austin had a cat, if Sarah got a cat or whatever, he would come home every day from working here at the office, and he would just lock eyes with the cat. The cat would just look at him like all hateful. He'd look at the cat hateful, and they just go their separate ways.
I would never. I would leave that house if Sarah had a cat in that house.
What would end up happening is they would get like the one cat that is for some reason like super snuggly and like always wants to cuddle, and it would always want to cuddle up next to Austin, and Austin would hate his life. He would be pushing it away, and it would just come back, sit down, and he'd push it away, and it would come back and just sit down.
I have a terrible story about a cat. Do you want me to share it?
No. Yes.
All right, give me the jingle for story time with Austin.
It's story time with Austin. Ray Bolts Coleman.
So my uncle and aunt, they had a cat.
Yep.
Growing up. Yep. And a tomcat came around. Okay. And was trying to impregnate their cat. Yep. And so my uncle realized that the tomcat was living under the house.
So the crawl space. Burned down the house.
And not quite. Okay. This is story time with Austin.
Oh, sorry.
And that's my bad. So he was trying to catch it. He could never catch it.
Yep.
So he got his bow and arrow, and he went across the street. He's a bow hunter. Went across the street, and like any good hunter, he sat there patiently, waiting.
His bow, you said?
His bow. Okay. And the cat finally appeared. And as soon as that cat appeared, my Uncle Brian put an arrow through it and tagged it to the house. And it died.
That is animal cruelty.
Wow.
Right there. That's what that is.
I have another story.
Hey, Peta is going to be contacting us after this episode.
No, your Uncle Brian is getting arrested after this.
Let me tell you another story about that side of the family. My granddaddy. Okay.
Okay.
This is another story with Austin.
Is this part the one that just lost his legs?
With no. Austin.
He's the one that lost his legs is actually deceased, and it's very offensive to me that you would even about his legs being gone because he has those legs again in heaven.
Oh, in heaven. Yes, correct.
Yeah,
correct.
You're fine.
That's my bad.
So anyway.
No, that's an honest mistake. That's
my granddaddy, he found a baby raccoon.
Okay.
And the mama had died, and so my granddaddy, he loves animals. He's a big hunter, you know, all that kind of thing. He loves, yep. I don't know how you reconcile those, but he loves animals. And so he picked up the baby raccoon, and he took it back to the house, was feeding it milk, and, like, it became his pet.
Yeah.
And one day, while he was feeding this baby raccoon, who had grown into teenager, you know, kind of raccoon, it bit him.
And it had rabies.
And no, it didn't have rabies, but my granddaddy did not like it. He had rabies, actually. And so he grabbed it by the back of its neck, like you do, and he took his hand that had been bitten, and he shoved it down the raccoon's throat and pulled out its guts.
What? That is the most manly thing I have ever heard.
It died. So
that is horrible.
That raccoon never bit him again.
Well, yeah,
probably
that
not.
Raccoon never took another breath.
No, it was absolutely it was fully deceased.
Yeah.
So that was story time with Austin.
I never want to hear another story like that ever again. Actually,
it's a new segment
crazy.
Presented by Mamitos.
presented by Prime Smelling Salts.
Oh man,
wait, is it Prime or Primed?
I said Primed.
Okay, I was about to say, because we might get sued, you know, Logan Paul with the Prime energy.
Yeah, he definitely would sue us.
Oh no. Oh,
yeah. Alright, so let's get started on this
by
podcast.
Way, I hope that Annie's not pregnant, by the way.
Stop, what?
Yeah, it says, do not use if you are allergic to the ingredients, or if you are pregnant.
Or plan to be pregnant.
Or plan to be pregnant.
6 months.
Avoid contact with eyes and mouth, and do not ingest. Ingredients contain sodium carbonate, ammonia chloride, and hell.
This is that was the worst thing we've ever done. That was the stupidest thing we've ever done.
No, honestly, I think it was fantastic.
Y'all had it easy. I'm not gonna lie. When that sucker first hit me, oh,
I had to take a deep breath for it to hit me.
Yeah, bro, I did not. I breathed in like regular, and it freaking rocked me.
So anyway, Sunday we talked about communication.
We did.
You just said,
excommunicado.
Aren't we talking about AI? Isn't that what you said?
Oh. So yesterday or Sunday we talked about communication and all the things, and you should go back and listen to the sermon.
Amen.
Okay, I don't think that we should expound too much. You just go listen to the sermon, okay?
Let it communicate.
Tristan had to listen to it again yesterday because he and Annie got in a fight because he wasn't listening.
I've had to listen to it every day this week, actually.
That's great.
Anyway,
it's really sticking. It's really taking hold of
him. It hasn't taken hold yet. That's why I kept
James
listening.
Chapter 3. Okay, so here's what I really want to talk about. Okay, I really want to talk about this.
Yep.
I really want to talk about AI because it is a form of communication, right?
Yep. Oh, not the rapper. Got it.
And the rapper, the basketball player.
You mean the basketball player? AI, baby.
AI.
Allen Iverson, the boy.
Practice. So
are we talking about practice?
Anyway, AI. Artificial intelligence, which is moving towards AGI, artificial general intelligence, which would be essentially what we would consider sentient. So it's like has its own, it's doing things on its own without being told.
Yep.
Yep.
There are people that believe right now that there are sentient AGIs that are hidden from the public, as is often the case when new inventions happen.
Yep.
The public doesn't know.
Government's
for
already
years
got it, baby.
Down the road. Yeah. And so there are people
until
that believe.
Until a Terminator shows up and kills everybody.
Government already has it. Joe Biden, AGI.
He is AGI. that was actually really good.
That's a great impression.
That was good.
Wow.
So anyway, AGI, artificial general intelligence, you know, becoming sentient, all the things. Okay, so what does this mean for the church? What does this mean for our own communication? How do we handle this as Christians? I have some strong feelings about AI, very strong feelings.
Same.
And I would love to hear y'all's feelings about AI. And let us also say, before we start talking, because like none of us are experts.
Correct.
Yeah,
we only know what we've learned via primarily podcasts, articles.
Yep.
And what we know, okay, because you're not fully going to know everything behind the scenes of this stuff.
Yep.
But there are some absolutely terrifying things, I think, that are happening with AI that are things that we should know about and we have to figure out how to respond to as believers.
Agreed.
So, what would y'all say? First thoughts, AI.
So, what'd you would say?
I said scary, dude.
Well, hold on. Let's look at it from a world perspective and then a church perspective. Okay. And so, when I say world, I'm not saying like, you know, anti-Christian. I'm saying the world as in like world as a whole, mm-hmm. and then the church, how it affects the church. So for the world, is AI a great thing?
I think my answer is the same for both. I think it's scary either way.
Absolutely.
Like scarier than people want to admit or care to figure out.
Mm.
And I say that just because me and Austin have a conversation about it one day, and Austin was telling me some stuff about like the security of it and it not being good. And so I like went down a rabbit hole that night looking mm-hmm. a bunch of stuff up. And it is like scary stuff, like the CAPTCHAs or whatever, like when you go to confirm that you're a human, like most AIs can bypass that now at this point, which is a little bit scary.
Yeah.
But like that's not even the scary part. The scary part is like how quickly AI is developing with basically no security parameters around it.
Yeah, there are very few regulations around it.
Yep. So few regulations that it's basically just like a bunch of rich people or like the government just pushing it forward and saying, oh, let's just see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if it becomes sentient and locks us out of the internet? Well, let's just see what happens. Let's just keep pushing it forward.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just see what happens with no parameters on it, which is like that to me is not mm-hmm. a great place to be. Yeah, that's just not a great place to be because I think the less secure these things are, the more damage they have the potential to do. So like I said, literally like locking us out of the internet, like changing like historical facts and data that we have like saved, obviously not paper facts and data, but that has been transferred to an online platform or digital platform, like literally having the ability just to change that information because it wants to, mm-hmm. like legitimately actually scary stuff that has like very bad implications for what we know as truth in the world, not just as Christians and like what we know as like Christian biblical truth, but like what we know as truth legitimately just in the world, which is, I don't know. It's scary. The whole thing is scary to me. Like I think people should be a lot more afraid and skeptical of AI than we are.
So I like how you say that for both, you say that it's scary.
Yeah.
When it comes to the world, obviously you're saying that there's no parameters. So if there were parameters, you feel like it'd be different.
It would be different if there were any regulations on it at all.
Yeah. What about AI with parameters in church?
I think that's really scary for a lot of similar reasons. Again, because like, yes, you can't change paper, like you can't change pen and paper, what has already been put to pen and paper. And so like, I literally told Austin this the other day, like I'm about to go and buy me up. Like I have a couple physical Bibles already. I'm about to go and buy a bunch of them because like the implications of AI having no parameters on religion is a little bit scary for like holy books that are online and have digital copies and all the things. And there being, again, no regulations and no security for AI and for pushing it forward. Like it sounds like a slippery slope or it sounds like a crazy off the wall idea. But the fact that it can just go in and decide, I'm going to change all the digital records of all these holy books. And it just do that again, because it wants to, or because it's honestly, I say because it's been programmed to do that. But like, really, like Austin said, like a lot of these AGI programs are like becoming almost sentient on their own, doing things on their own. So really not because it's told to, but because it wants to.
Yeah.
Because I mean, this literally sounds like a Marvel movie type thing with like Ultron, but literally because it's been told, hey, help the human race. And it's like, oh, well, religious wars happen a lot. Let's just change all religion to agree with each other.
Yeah.
Which is like, it literally sounds so insane and like it would never happen. But like that is the implication of
that. But that is also one of the goals that has been laid out by, I believe it was with Google, and that some of the AI they're hoping brings peace to world religions, which causes lots of strife, which brings the religions together. Now, here's where I want to tie this together. This is a spiritual podcast, right? This is a Christian podcast. So a lot of people talk about the end of the world.
Yep.
A lot of people want to talk about Revelation. Not everyone understands Revelation. Most people don't understand. If you think you understand it, you probably don't as much as you'd like to. Right? And everyone wants to look at it. It's very symbolic. It's very difficult to understand. You know, it talks about dragons and beasts and antichrists and one's coming out of the water and the other one's coming out of the earth. And it's like, are these literal beasts? Are these figurative beasts? What are these?
Yep.
So if you look at Revelation chapter 13, okay? Revelation chapter 13 basically gives you three, there's three different actors, let's call them here, yep. Okay?
They probably are physical actors, too.
They, what?
Yeah, I said they probably are physical actors in the world.
Okay.
No, I'm
sorry. Okay, there is a dragon.
Yep.
There are two beasts.
Yep.
Two beasts and a dragon, okay? So most people would agree and believe that the dragon is in reference to Satan.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
And the two beasts would be, one would be the Antichrist, and one would be the false prophet, who supports the Antichrist religiously.
Yep.
Causes religion, we talk about one world religion.
Yep.
One new religion. The false prophet leads in that, in establishing the Antichrist as the one to be worshipped, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The dragon, Satan, is empowering both of these.
Mm.
So, without getting too deep into this, because scripture talks about how one comes out of the sea, one comes out of the earth, there is not, I mean, some people would say coming out of the sea is in reference to the Gentiles, coming out of the earth is in reference to the Israelites, so the sea would be that the Antichrist is coming out of a Gentile nation. Is leading the confederacy of its 10 or 12 nations together and one world government and one world religion. And the religion is coming out of Israel. And we can kind of see that how Christianity, Judaism, and Islam is all centered in their holy places are in Jerusalem,
yep.
In Israel. So the second beast being the false prophet doing that. And here is my belief that I haven't really publicly discussed before. And I've also not found anyone else that really believes this, so I can be way off base, okay? And I probably am, but this is just kind of the way I'm thinking about it, is with the emergence of AI, it makes sense to me. What does Satan do? Satan always tries to copy God.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Tries to copy God.
Yep.
You see that the Antichrist, in Revelation, you see the Antichrist is killed and resurrected. Now, scripture is pretty clear on how it seems that he's been killed, but it's been faked,
You
know. And so he comes back to life. He's mocking the death and resurrection of Jesus.
Yep.
Everything that God creates, Satan counterfeits. So you have the dragon, you have the beast that's the Antichrist, you have the beast that is the false prophet. What if, okay, this is just kind of my view, having the emergence of AI and the implications of AI. Okay, we talk about the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is something that you're not going to be able to purchase. You're not going to be able to live without it. Okay, where are we heading with AI? We are heading towards a Neuralink.
Yep.
We are heading towards a convenience of AI being implanted on your body.
Somewhere. Yep.
Somewhere. Not needing your phone is essentially implanted on your body. If you're listening to this, you probably have your phone in your pocket or in your hand right now.
Or you're driving and having it connected to your Bluetooth on your phone right now.
Yep. Car. So it's not far-fetched for us to think that that would be the next step. It's not far-fetched to think that, okay? Yep. So with that being in mind, and the way that AI is bringing us, it's the best ways to live. I was listening to a podcast the other day talking about how, like, we can't get along with people, and we can't get along with Republicans, and Republicans can't get along with Democrats, and Democrats can't get along with Independents. And they were like, what if AI came along and showed us the best way, and we let AI lead us? Okay, these are very intelligent people talking about this. And once it starts getting talked about, you're not far away from people trying to implement it.
Yep.
This
yep.
is just the history yep. of the world, right? So what if the dragon, Satan, is attempting to counterfeit the Holy Spirit, who's invisible, all-knowing, and lives within you with AI that is invisible, all-knowing, godlike, and lives within you.
Yep.
That you can no longer live, eat, breathe without having that, or you will be a second-class type of citizen, similar to what is described in Revelation with the Mark of the Beast. And this AI is utilized from first the Antichrist as a form of false prophet to bring together the religions of the world, the governments of the world, in a way that a human could not.
Yep.
And in my opinion, this is all conjecture, okay, on my part.
Yeah.
This is completely conjecture. This is completely like a what if, but people have been what ifing Revelation for millennia, you know, since it was written, you know, people, you've heard stories back in the day when the nuclear explosion or the nuclear bomb was first created that, that's the fire falling from heaven.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that, you know,
could
people have been conjecturing since then is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And so my conjecture is that this could be a way that Satan counterfeits what God has created.
Yeah. Wow.
So what should you do if you're a Christian? You shouldn't take that and say, yeah, yes and amen. That's definitely it. So every AI thing is terrible. But I think that you should at least think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you should at least think about like I think that God created us to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what you're doing when you are using a ChatGPT for more than just assisting you, you are outsourcing your own God-given creativity to something else.
Wow.
I think that that is destructive, not only to you, but also to humanity.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's everyone wants authenticity. What's the least authentic thing that you can do? The least authentic thing I could do today is I could get on ChatGPT, input a scripture. Okay, I could input Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Would you write me a sermon on Matthew 6:33? And ChatGPT will do it. Yep. That is the least authentic thing that I could do, is take that sermon and then go preach it.
Yep.
That is the least authentic thing that I could do. And
coming from POV from this week, you were talking about, you know, speaking different languages.
Yeah.
So if you look at it from a perspective of your dating or your spouse, what's to stop you to go to ChatGPT? Hey, write me a poem about this and have this name in it.
Yep.
Boom, poem written.
Yep.
Authenticity gone.
You're outsourcing your authenticity.
Yep.
Well, and even too, you said something interesting before we started recording the podcast, which was like, and you said it here, like Satan wants to counterfeit everything that God has done.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And one thing Satan can't do is create.
He can't create. He can only counterfeit.
He can't create. He can only counterfeit. And so you literally said, like, what is to stop him from using humans who have this God-given ability to be creative and try to counterfeit, try to use that to counterfeit it?
Yeah.
Well, and Satan, we have to understand, too, that Satan is a created being, right?
Yep.
Satan also is a created being that has not been made in the image of God like we have.
Yep.
Satan also is a metaphysical being.
Yep.
He is not he does not have a physical form. And so Satan cannot create like Sam Altman has created with OpenAI.
Yeah.
Satan cannot create, and so Satan must possess in order to create. And when he creates, it's never a full creation. AI is not is not a creation like humanity.
Yep.
AI is a counterfeit of humanity.
Yep.
If it becomes sentient, it is still a counterfeit of the conscience that God has given to each of us.
Yep.
It's still a counterfeit.
Yeah.
As real as it may seem, that AI girlfriend, as real as she might seem, is a counterfeit girlfriend.
Yep.
That AI paper that was written for you, as real as it may seem, is a counterfeit paper. It is not a creative paper.
Yep.
And so, and then you bridge that gap into the church, right? I think that there are some things that like can be utilized as tools, but there's a difference between a tool and an outsource.
Yep.
So like, for example, you would outsource a design. Let's say you outsource design work to Fiverr.
Yep.
Okay. That's one thing, but it's different if you have a tool in Adobe Illustrator to do it yourself.
Yep.
Those are different things.
Yep.
It's not cheating to use a tool. Now, it's not cheating to use Fiverr either, but just be honest about what you're doing.
Yep.
Just be honest about what you're doing.
Yep.
So So AI is either a tool or it is a form of outsourcing. So which one is it for you? And I strongly believe that using AI could lead to outsourcing discipleship.
Absolutely.
In the church, which is totally opposite of Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. He did not say go into all the world and create an AI that does it faster, cheaper, and easier so that you don't have to get your hands dirty to delegate and disciple.
Yep.
Yep.
And I think that is a disservice to the discipleship that someone used to mentor you with. It's a disservice to what Jesus laid down his life for. It's a disservice towards hundreds of years of Christian discipleship and Christian maturity for us to go and type into ChatGPT, what would Jesus say to, fill in the blank, copy, paste it to somebody else, go to Sora and create a video when you could use a real actor, a real person.
Yeah.
Well,
it's wild too, because you said using AI that would do it faster, cheaper, better, you know, whatever, all the things that you said. But it's also like we had just talked about, like also inauthentically.
Yeah.
Like, is it actually creating disciples or is it doing something different? Is it doing something counterfeit?
Yeah.
Like, because I mean, that would be my argument there is, oh, it's faster, cheaper, better, all the things, but is it actually creating disciples?
Yep.
Yeah.
And delegation and outsourcing are different.
Yep.
So delegating to someone, oftentimes, this is just a side note, but oftentimes the quickest way to develop somebody is to delegate to them.
Yep.
So if you never delegate, you never develop.
Yep.
So let's say, for example, that we want to record a series of videos with Jamie and the creative team, okay? Yep. And Jamie wants to create these stories, let's say, heart and soul stories.
Yep.
All right? It would be so much faster to not work schedules, to not have conversations, to not find actual stories, and instead to do something that is generic and AI created.
Yep.
That'd be so much faster. You don't have to involve people because people are messy and yep. people don't listen and editing is hard. And like that stuff is hard. And those are details that most people don't ever see.
Yep.
But when you do that and you outsource to AI, what you're doing is you're preventing someone from learning to edit better. You're preventing conversations that could happen. You're preventing real life stories for that are authentically like Sam and Brett Cash when they did their story. Like,
yep.
I don't know, man. I just am very against some AI in church world.
Yeah.
I think that there are systems and automations that work great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that is so different.
Well, yeah, different. It's like you said, it's the difference between like outsourcing and using it as a tool.
And being honest about it. Here's an example. I use
quote unquote AI, different type of AI, but AI for the captions on our sermon clips. When we post sermon clips online, I use quote unquote AI.
But that's not even AI. That's technology that we've had for years.
That's why I say quote unquote AI. We've had that technology for years. It technically is still AI, but like it's very different. I'm using that as a tool to where instead of spending 20 hours putting the captions for every individual word on the video, I can input it, and it's your words that you've said. It's just putting them into captions in the video. And like that is very different than, like you said, literally having AI create an entire video story for you.
Well, it's like this book right here. It's like the difference is you're prompting. So you're telling the computer to spell J-E-R-K, jerk. You're prompting it every single time.
Yeah.
Whereas AI is going, oh, I'm going to do that, but then I'm going to add all these other words to it and make this whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to write the book
for you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's totally different. Literally. It would be, I mean, it's, and just be honest. Just be honest about it. Just be honest about it. Yep. Just be honest about it. Just be honest about it.
Yep.
What's crazy
just be honest about it, because it's the most hypocritical thing in the world. The most hypocritical thing in the world that you could do is to pretend that you have created something when really it's been counterfeited by AI.
Yep.
And I'm telling you right now, people know.
Yeah, they will.
People know, man.
They will.
They can tell. It's still not good enough where we can't tell. And there is something creepy about so creepy about the dead eyes.
Oh my goodness,
dude. In these videos that are being made, these deep fakes that are being made, there's something creepy about it. And it's, and you know, going back to what Tristan was saying, it's scary in and of itself. It is scary, but it's also dishonest.
Well, yeah. I've been following artificial intelligence for a while. Yeah. A couple of episodes I follow, they're talking about it constantly. And a lot of the articles will just keep saying it's my AI, my AI. And the whole point is, like, eventually we're going to have an app where it's my AI, where it's your artificial intelligence is attached to everything you do.
And it comments for you.
And it comments it for you. It posts for you. It does all that stuff. So what's funny is, I started thinking about that. I was like, my AI, my AI. And if we're looking on the realm of, like, the spectrum of, you know, being twisted, Satan twisting things, this could be a form of use of what artificial intelligence would be for the Antichrist. Isn't it interesting that my AI, if you put it in reverse, is I am?
Mm. Yeah.
And so, you know, Satan's trying to twist everything.
Or you scramble
everything.
It up and you're MIA.
And you're MIA. You're gone. So,
I mean, honestly, though, like that right there, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's the world that we're heading towards. And I just think that it's fair for us to at least, like, be... I think it's prudent for you to be aware of what's going on in the world around you.
Mm-hmm.
And AI is a big deal that people don't understand. The government doesn't understand how to regulate. Nope. We don't understand what's going on. We just got a bunch of willy-nilly rich people making AI and trying to, you know, it's for the world and we're going to make the world a better place. And, like, that's how everything started. That's what Hitler said. Okay? Like, honestly, that's how everything starts that way. And I'm not saying that it couldn't make the world a better place. It absolutely could. It absolutely could. I'm just saying, did you think about it? Like, did we think about it? And did we follow the trail where it leads? Because if this thing becomes sentient, and, you know, which it likely already has, like, what's going on in the background? Because the ones that haven't been sentient have learned languages that they weren't taught to learn.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yep.
Yeah.
How did that happen? No one knows. That's the problem. No one knows. And so there are things that are happening behind the scenes that we are unaware of. And the church has always, always, always been countercultural. Always.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we don't use it because we're anti-technology. We are so technology. I love technology.
Yep.
We use it all the time. Like, our services are full of technology.
Using it right now to record.
Our church is full of technology. The issue, though, is not the technology. It's, like, what's going on behind it, the intention.
Yeah.
And if you're not aware that, I mean, like, you look at these TikToks and you can see all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
All over the place, AI created videos.
Yep,
or that.
People are getting AI girlfriends, AI boyfriends.
Yeah, that's wild.
AI friends, because they don't know how to make friends anymore. April 28th, I'm literally doing an entire sermon. I've never done this before. An entire sermon on how to make friends, because people don't know how to make friends anymore.
No,
they don't. It went from, like, okay, we made friends, to, okay, now on MySpace I have my top five friends, and if I'm not in that group on this day, like, I'm gonna be upset. And then it moved to Facebook, where we posted our updates, and then it moved to liking those updates, and now we live exclusively online.
Yeah.
And people are good at making friends online, but you get them in person, they don't know how to talk.
Nope.
They don't know how to talk. And, you know, statistically, men and women are not getting married anymore. Statistically, men and women are not having sex the way they used to have sex. Statistically, our relationships kind of suck. They kind of suck now. And a lot of it has to do with, now let's get into relationship stuff. Because the reason a lot of guys aren't having sex with their wives anymore is because they're having sex with their hand watching pornography.
Sheesh.
Yep.
And that's the bottom line.
Yep.
And so what do I need to do it with you when I can see someone that is AI generated?
Yep.
Which, you know, if that's not a thing, it will be.
Yep.
It will be.
Yep.
Someone who is completely fake. They've been editing videos for years. There's all kinds of edits. So you're filling your mind with something that is never going to be real life. Yep. So why would I have sex with my wife anymore?
Yep.
When I can watch this. It's the same thing for women. I mean, it's like it's an absurd amount. It's like 90% of men watch porn, and like 60% of women now. And
just crazy.
It's wild.
So anyway, like, that's a big deal.
Yeah,
that's a big deal. That's just that, and if you don't think there's something wrong with porn, there's something wrong with you, because pornography is killing your soul.
Yep.
One,
yep.
It's also preventing you from being able to get the erection that you need and the pleasure that you need from your spouse.
Jacks up your chemical imbalances, all of it.
Yep.
And you're putting standards on your spouse, whether man, male or female. You're putting standards on them that they'll never be able to live up to.
Yep.
Yep.
That is literally performative.
Yep. Yep.
This is not real.
Yep. Yep.
It's not real.
Yep.
And so anyway.
Well, even going back to the like not being able to talk to people thing, like there's a difference between being an introvert.
Yep.
And like not wanting to talk to people.
Yeah.
And not knowing how to talk to people.
Yep.
Yep.
And like you said, we live such a life now that's so online with everything that people don't know how to talk to somebody in person.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not,
where's the like button in this conversation?
Like you're not just an introvert. No, you just don't like talking to people. Like I am an introvert. Mm. I don't love talking to people. Contrary to what people may think, because I can feel very extroverted when I'm talking to you. I'm an introvert. Not a big fan of talking to people.
Tristan hates you.
But I do not hate you. But I know how to talk to people, man.
Yep.
Like, there's such a fine line between being an introvert and legitimately not knowing how to hold a conversation with somebody.
Yep. I'm right there with you. I am a situational extrovert.
Yep. Yep.
I know when I have to be, and I am, which is also why so much of your personality is intentionality. It has very little to do with like, oh, I'm just a mean person. No, bro, like you're just mean. You literally are just mean.
You're just mean.
You're just mean.
You're not just an Enneagram 8.
So much of it is intentional. Like just have some emotional intelligence about yourself.
Yep.
Have some relational intelligence about yourself and know that you need to carry the conversation here.
Yep.
And if you need to carry the conversation, then do it.
Yep.
Like
yep.
grow up, be a man, and carry the conversation.
Yep.
That's honestly, at some point, people just need to get over themselves and do that. I don't like to carry the conversation most of the time.
Same.
But I can sense when it needs to happen.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, you're absolutely right.
Going back to like some of the porn stuff, like we're going to talk about some of that on Sunday.
Yeah.
Is Job chapter 31 and verse 1. And this is a scripture that I think I would dare say most people in our congregation don't know. But Job says, in the middle of the worst moment of his life, okay, he said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. That's in the Bible. And yet so many people in our churches have not made that covenant.
It's facts.
Have not made the covenant to not look lustfully at a young woman. Any woman.
Yeah.
And I would dare say it's both ways too. Ladies, like you are not immune. It's to not look lustfully. A young man.
Yep.
It's like, have you made that commitment? Because that is a commitment in your heart. And commitment is built on forgiveness and repentance. Forgiveness and repentance. Forgiveness and repentance. That you repent. Okay, I looked lustfully. Lord, would you forgive me? Because this is literally like Jesus talks about it in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Like, you've committed adultery with her in your heart if you looked at her lustfully.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you're not perfect. You're not going to be perfect. Okay. You took the second look, let's say, but my God, like you got to apologize. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. You know, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That I'm going to pray back to the Lord and ask the Lord to forgive me. And I'm going to look to people to help me with healing. I'm going to open up and confess. We're going to talk about confession in a few weeks.
Yep.
But open up to people and confess and say, guys, I have a problem with pornography. I have a problem with lust. I have a problem with sex outside of marriage. I have a problem with this or that or fill in the blank. It's not lust for everybody, but for a lot of people it is. I have a problem with pride. I have a problem with arrogance. I have a problem with gossip. I have a problem with X, Y, and Z. Okay, well, open up about that for the healing of your soul from people. But you got to repent to the Lord about that. And repentance literally is to turn away from that thing and to walk the other way. And the great thing about the Lord is upon repentance, you receive forgiveness. But forgiveness is not free. It's free to you, but it's costly to God. And so it's a literal payment. It's not that it just got like X'd out. It's that he made the payment for you.
Gosh,
he made the payment for you. And it's so much of it is about commitment. We don't talk about, you know, I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 6 too. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Your gossip, your pride, your arrogance, your cheating, your stealing, your lying, those are all sins that are hurtful. But according to the Apostle Paul, there is no other sin outside of sexual immorality that is against your own body.
Yep.
Wow.
So you hear this idea of this oneness. You become one with somebody, and the more you can't unwon some what's already been won.
Yeah.
And you keep wanting yourself with a bunch of different people. Yep. You're actually hurting your own body.
Yep.
You're actually hurting your own body. Every time you watch pornography, you're hurting your own body. Every time you sleep with somebody that's not your spouse, you're hurting your own body. And those things you carry with you.
Yep.
Those are strings that are now attached, and you cannot get rid of those. As much as you scrub and rub them off, and you can be forgiven, praise God, and you can be free because of Jesus, that is incredible. But those past things, they stick with you.
Yep.
And so that's why it's so important that you tell your children and you tell young people that, like, what you do sexually does not go away.
Yep.
It does not go away. You won't remember that lie that you told, but you will remember that first time you lost your virginity.
Yep.
And it is a sin against your own body. It's something, and as Christians, what do? Like, those things, most of the time when you hear somebody and they say, you know, I have this regret in my life or I have that regret in my life, what is it most likely tied to? The biggest regrets of our lives are typically tied to sex.
Yep.
Something sexually. And as Christians, we don't give regrets to people. Like, here's a good way to think about it is, I don't want to be a part of someone else's biggest regret.
Mm.
As a Christian, I don't want to be part of someone else's biggest regret.
Yeah.
So if not even for myself, if not even for the Lord, I'm going to abstain from sexual activity with that person because I don't want to be their biggest regret.
Yep.
Yep.
I don't want them to be sobbing with a therapist and their husband 10 years from now, their husband that is not me, 10 years from now, still upset that they went through with X, Y, and Z with me.
Yep.
I don't want to be that regret.
Yep.
A lot of her TikTok, they've had that one chick that was, I think she was on OnlyFans. She ended up talking about how she loved just cheating on her boyfriends over and over again repeatedly, and then she got saved.
Mm.
And then destroyed her OnlyFans and has been talking nothing about Jesus, about being baptized, about the person she used to be and how she hated the person she used to be.
Wow.
And then they interviewed her recently, and she broke down in tears because she said, I regret being the regret and the mistake for that other man multiple times because they were cheating on other people as well.
Yeah. Wow. And the good news is that she's not that person anymore.
She's not.
The good news, she's a new creation in Christ. The good news is that when God looks at her, God sees the righteousness of Christ. The problem is that when that man looks at her, that man still sees the regret.
Yep.
And she still sees it.
Yep. And it still affects her. Being a Christian, you know, everybody, the whole idea of like, oh, things are going to be better when you become a Christian. Well, no, your eyes get opened.
Yeah.
Not only do you get better and you have a better stance against the enemy, but your eyes get open to all the things that were bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I mean, you know, so AI stretches more than just, it gets down into your soul too. And I think that it's going to, if it's not already, right? If it's not already, it's going to overtake some of these industries like pornography.
Yep.
And like, which doesn't make it better or worse. It's just as bad.
It's just as bad.
It's just as bad. It's just as unrealistic. It's.
Man, that literally makes me think. I think we might have mentioned it before the podcast started also, but like, and we did mention it on the podcast of like the AI, like it being said by maybe it was Google or whoever about like the wanting to bring the world religions together and like using AI to do that or whatever. Like
creating
that
Bible.
That is literally creating like, that is using religion for the purpose of satisfaction.
Yep.
When the purpose of religion is not satisfaction, the purpose of religion is reconciliation back to the Father.
Right.
Like, we have been, that cord has been severed, but it's been reconciled by Jesus. And, like, that is the point of what we believe. It's not so we live a better life, like you said. Like, it's not once you become a Christian, oh, everything goes well now. Not the case. You are reconciled with Christ, though.
Yep.
You are reconciled with the Father. And like that is the crazy, that's a crazy thing when you bring that up about like them using AI to basically like bridge the gap between these religions and make a peaceful world and this, that, and the other or whatever. Like the point of religion is not satisfaction, which is what that sounds like it is. It sounds like it's to satisfy everyone, to satisfy every religion, to satisfy them all and make everything hunky-dory and everything fine. And that's not.
Yeah.
It's not the point of Christianity. The point of Christianity is not, it's not that it's going to satisfy you and that it's going to, you know, change your life and make it all so better and everything like that. But it has changed your life. It has reconciled you back to the Father. And like that is worth more than living the best life ever could ever be worth.
Yep.
So Anyway, just kind of as an aside, that like I got to thinking about that when you said that. Like that's even like that concept is so crazy with AI.
Well, with creation, we were talking about like, you know, obviously with porn, you're not really creating anything. You're just making it worse.
Yeah.
You counterfeit. Know, and it's counterfeit. But when you're talking about creating and people using AI to do this and that, I think the problem that, and of course, again, this is a spiritual podcast. We're a Christian podcast. To think about it, for you to be creative, God made us to be creative. But the point is that we have to look to the creator
yep.
in order to know how to be creative. Because then once you are creative, you realize why you are being creative. It's not just for you, it's for others. It's not just for you, it's for God. Mm. And so when you've got these worlds that are making this AI that's only created for you,
my AI, then it's baby.
Counterfeit.
Jeez.
It's not correct. And when you've got people looking at Google thinking Google's their God, and then all of a sudden, Google's AI is kicking in and changing things on Google, changing histories on Google, and then this implementation of maybe something that goes in Neuralink in your head. You think something's truth, but the reality is it's been altered by a false creation.
Mm. My AI, my artificial identity.
Think about every sin. Every sin is a counterfeit of what God has given.
Yep.
Gossip is a counterfeit of the truth.
Yep.
It's what it is.
Yep.
It feels good, sounds good, you want to do it. Right? Like everybody wants that. Pride is a counterfeit of humility.
Yep.
Everything is a counterfeit. You know, lust or porn is a counterfeit of sexual intimacy.
Yep.
Even like bitterness is a counterfeit of forgiveness. You think that it's going to hurt them, but it hurts you.
Yep.
Literally. These things are counterfeits of what? So, I mean, I've had this thought recently, and I'm working on it, and I think it's going in my sermon this week. But think about Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in and through me. Okay? So Galatians 2:20, very popular. The life I live now in the flesh, I live to Christ. Paul talks about this, uses this kind of language a lot. Okay, so think about this. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus is the gospel.
Yep.
Right? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is the gospel. Now, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus has implications, correct? The implication is that you are now offered forgiveness of sins. That's one implication, that you die to self and that you live to Christ. But I think also when you do that, how do you become a Christian? Romans chapter 10, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is King. So while salvation is free, it's very costly.
Yep.
What does it cost you? It costs you your obedience.
Yep.
Yep.
So you gain way more in return, but it does cost you your obedience. So now you have a new King, a new Lord. You follow Jesus as King. So what he says goes. What have we said before at Heart and Soul? We said everybody's welcome because nobody's perfect. Together is better. And Jesus is King.
Yep.
If he said it, that settles it.
Yep.
Jesus is King. So, okay, putting these ideas together. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus and the implications of such. The habits that you grew up with, the sins that you committed, if they don't fall under rule of Jesus, then they must be killed.
Yep.
So those that gossip that is your pet sin, let's say, it must be killed in the same way that Jesus was killed. It must be buried in the same way that Jesus was buried. And it must be resurrected to truth, not gossip.
Yep.
That's how you fill in the blank, whatever sin is your pet sin, okay? We talked about porn, so let's talk about that. Porn has to be crucified.
Yep.
I have been crucified with Christ, okay? It's not just I have been crucified. I'm not literally getting on a cross. When Paul says that, Paul is literally talking about the sins in his life.
Yep.
My sins have been crucified with Christ, okay? Pornography has been crucified with Christ. It must be buried for that stone to never roll back around again, and it must be resurrected to the form of sexual intimacy that is described in the scriptures.
Yep.
What is that described as? It's described as a relationship, a monotonous relationship between one man, one woman, forever.
Yep.
That is what is ascribed to us in the scriptures.
Monogamous, okay. Not monotonous.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
I knew what you said.
Monotonous too. Lord help.
I knew what you meant, but I just had to point that out.
Dang, I'm glad you did because that would have been embarrassing. I mean, that was more embarrassing. But anyway, you get what I'm saying? Yeah, like, the pride has to
come from AI.
The pride has to be killed. It has to be buried.
Yep.
And it has to be resurrected as humility. So fill in the blank. Whatever those consistent actions that you do, those bad habits that you do, they must be killed. They must be buried and they must be resurrected. You can't start a new habit without killing a bad habit.
Yep.
Like James Clear proved this in his book, Atomic Habits, that you can't, like, if you're trying to quit a bad habit, you got to start a new one.
Yep.
You got to start a good one.
Yep.
You can't quit a bad one without starting a good one.
Yep.
So if you want to quit that bad habit, you got to quit it. You got to bury it. And then you got to start a new one.
Yep.
So that could be scripture reading for you. Most people listening to this podcast probably don't read their Bible every day. And that's people that listen to this podcast. Pray every day.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a lot. Like, just start with the verse of the day. You know, I think that's a very low bar, but start there. Move yourself to a chapter a day.
At least it's something.
Something. You know,
I think it kind of goes along the lines too, like how people don't understand like what it means to delight in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so before you can delight, you have to be disciplined to do it.
Yep.
And which means if you're a follower of Jesus, follower of King Jesus, that means you're a disciple, which is the root word is discipline. So then if you're a disciple and you're disciplined with your habits, and you are continually looking towards Christ as King, you're delighting in His will. And so the things that you think, oh, I want my will to be done, you want His will.
Yep.
You want His will for your life, because then you realize that it's actually better than what you originally wanted.
Yep.
It's better than what AI could write for you.
Yep. When I think about delight, when you say delight, the first thing that comes to my mind is Kobe Bryant standing on the press table with five fingers in the air after his fifth championship. Iconic. Just throwing up the five. We did it. That's delight. But you know how he got there? Was 3:00 a.m. morning workouts, the discipline to get there.
We talking about practice?
Scott Blanton, the delight on that man's face when he finished that marathon.
Yep.
But the discipline of him running consistently, of him being at church, at church, parking cars, and in between cars showing up, him running the on the curb and doing step workouts on the curb, out there serving people.
Yep.
Literally.
Discipline.
Yep.
And then talking to him, and he goes, you know, I'm doing it for church. What? I'm going to go run a half a marathon. I'm running 13 miles today. Who just prayed for me? And I'm like, wow, that's a normal day for you? Oh, yeah, normal day.
And you know what's funny is he needs more than prayer. He needs discipline.
Yep.
And he got it. Yep. You know, like, that's the thing.
Yep.
And anything that is worthwhile is going to be hard and is going to require discipline. So.
You kind of already shared what was coming up for this Sunday, but what's the main hook for this coming Sunday, why people should come to church aside from, well, you should just come to church.
The POV is we used to have chemistry, but now it's toxic.
Mm.
Nice.
So think about I asked a chemistry teacher, HC, shout out. I said, are there any like formulas that if they were off just a little bit, be bad? She sent me one. She said that if you take salt, that's sodium chloride.
Yep.
Okay. And you replace sodium with hydrogen, you have hydrogen chloride, and it will literally kill you.
Yep.
Yep.
So the one thing that we love so much on our food, if you mess up the chemistry formula, it can become toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And the reality is that most of us and our culture pushes this on us from Disney Channel as a child all the way through reality TV as an adult. They push on us that your relationship should be chemistry centered. And 5 years in, when the chemistry is gone and now it's toxic, it's time to trade her in and get a new one.
Wow.
Yep.
It's time to quit that friendship and find a new one.
Wow.
The people that are the most toxic people are the people that can't keep friendships.
Yep.
If you want to see if somebody's toxic in your life, then see how many friends they've kept on over the long haul. Not best friends, but like, see how much fallout has happened
as
a toxic person.
See which people, if you didn't talk to them for a year, still even want to talk to that person.
100%.
Yeah.
So here's the counter to that, right? So everything that the Lord creates, Satan counterfeits. Mm. The counterfeit is a chemistry-centered relationship. Well, what is it a counterfeit towards? It's a counterfeit towards a Christ-centered relationship.
Wow.
And really, more than that, a Christ-centered life.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm even challenging people this Sunday is to read the Sermon on the Mount at least twice during the next week. And you can start now before we even start, because the Sermon on the Mount will teach you how to live a Christ-centered life.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And if you're living a Christ-centered life, you're going to have a Christ-centered relationship.
Yep.
And then, of course, you know, from that, we're going to get into three C's of a Christ-centered relationship. And we're going to talk about those and compare and contrast these three C's with a chemistry-centered relationship that the world is pushing on us. That, like, it was sexy at the beginning, but now he's fat. You know, yeah. It was sexy at the beginning, but she let herself go. It was sexy at the beginning, but now she doesn't want to have sex anymore. You have way more sexual chemistry with people in the world than you have actual chemistry with.
That's true. Wow.
So, like, we think that, you know, try before you buy, make sure that you got the chemistry. But the problem is that physical chemistry especially clouds your judgment as to like, the logical things that you would normally want in someone.
Yep.
So, like, you don't even know what your own values are because you are so focused on, like, finding someone that is uber attractive and will fulfill your sexual desires. Well, you know, that's good in the moment, but 5 years from now, when y'all don't know how to talk and the sex drives have fallen off a cliff, that's not a great relationship.
Nope.
Yep.
And the world tells you, now it's time to trade her in and go get a new one. Trade him in. Go get a new one. But that's not what Scripture will tell you.
Nope.
And so what we need to do is we need to stop building chemistry-centered relationships, start building Christ-centered relationships. And then Sunday we're basically going to see, like, okay, well, how do you actually do that? Because it sounds nice, but how do you do it?
Because spoiler alert, if you and your mate, your spouse, is running towards God together, that's another level of intimacy.
Yep.
It's not just asexual intimacy. And so when that chemistry, like you're saying, can run out, what other levels of intimacy are helping out to bridge, to bring it Christ-centered?
Yeah, yep. And the people with the most sexual chemistry are the ones that have the other C's that I'm going to talk about. So like, people will start off a relationship and they'll jump into sex too soon, let's say.
Yeah.
Okay, and so they don't even know if their values line up. They don't know if they're, like, both going in the same direction. Like, she wants to live in California. He wants to live in New York City. They don't know how many kids they want to. Like, all these things that are very important details for a marriage to last and survive have been thrown to the side because they only cared about, like, let's just make sure we fit sexually.
Yep.
Well, you fit with millions of people. That's not a concern. most relationships do not end in a divorce lawyer because the sex was no longer good.
Yep.
They end because I wanted kids and he didn't. I wanted to move and they didn't. I don't know how to talk to this person. That's why they end. But you want to find somebody that has a great sex life. You go find somebody that's to one another before anything else. They are with one another before anything else. And they are on what their values are.
Yep.
You get those three things and your sex life will get a lot better.
He gave it away. He's got to change the sermon. He gave it away.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut that last part.
You should bleep it out.
Bleep it out. Yeah, yes. Yes. Yes.
There it is. Oh, just bleep it out.
And they're hearing this part too. So guess what? It got bleeped. Sorry.
Yeah. There it is. Awesome. There it is. That's but awesome. I mean, like, if you don't want to hear about, if you don't want to hear about, like, I'm talking about in the beep first part, like how, you know, porn will screw you up. Like, that's a big one. If you don't want to hear about that and you want to keep living in that sin, then don't come to church Sunday.
Yeah.
But if you want freedom from that, which if you're listening to this, it feels good in the moment, but you want freedom from it.
Yep.
Because
if
you got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you right after, you regret it immediately.
Yep.
Immediately, you know, there's something in you that knows, no matter how strong of a Christian you are, that, man, there's something wrong with that.
Yep.
And so I want to help people Sunday and talk about that a little bit. And I think there's more people in our world that need freedom from that. And their spouses have no idea it's a problem. No idea.
Yep.
No idea. And that is a massive problem.
Yep.
You need to tell your spouse. If it's an issue, you need to tell your spouse and you need to get help.
Yep.
Yep.
You need to get help. And we haven't talked about porn in like forever.
It's been a long time.
A long time since I've talked about that, like, in a sermon. And, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big problem in our world.
It is.
So.
Cool. Well, anything else from this episode aside from smelling salts, AI, and all the other goodies?
I don't know, man. I feel like we've talked about way too much.
Praise God.
I'm putting all hour and 10 minutes straight up on the podcast. And if you listened this far and you're trying to figure out what the C's are that were bleeped out, then just come search Sunday.
Amen.
That's right.
So there's been another episode with Chis and Hayes.
Yo.
Pastor Austin Coleman.
Yep.
And sup, brother Jamie DeShane. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.